Blessed be the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So, as some of you know from the last few weeks, Augustine wrote his book, City of God. When the people of Rome were wondering what caused Rome to be sacked in 410 by Alaric the Goth, did losing the empire to the barbarian tribes, or losing Rome, did it mean that God was against them, or did it mean that the gods were against them? And some said, no, it's the Christians. This was the problem all along. The Christians are what caused the sack of Rome. Well, two loves, Augustine writes, have made two cities. The love of self, even to the contempt for God, made the earthly city. And love of God made the heavenly city. The city of man seeks its glory in itself. But the city of God glorifies in the Lord. Those citizens of the city of God, Augustine calls pilgrims and wayfarers. So a pilgrim en route to the New Jerusalem has a different perspective, outlook, and attitude than one who is a comfortable citizen of the earthly city. Remember the first nickname for the Christians in the book of Acts. Does anybody remember what it was? The Way. Well, since the middle of Mark chapter 8, after Peter gives his confession, it is clear where Jesus is going, but not clear where the disciples and those around him are going. He is leading them to Jerusalem. Yet they are being led by their own understanding. They are actually in their hearts on the way to the city of man. Mark 10 is a wonderful picture of discipleship and lack thereof. There are two stories that sandwich another of Jesus' prediction of the cross, and he says to carry your own cross. We've looked at those two stories the last 2 weeks. The first was the story of the rich man who wanted to know how he would obtain eternal life in the coming age. And he went away, as you recall, sad, because Jesus said, give everything you have to the poor and come and follow me. The second story is the bold request of James and John. We want to sit at your right and left hand when you come in your glory. To which Jesus replies, if any of you want to be great, you must be the servant and the slave of all. Well, here's another discipleship story, and a profound one. All four Gospels tells the story because it is a turning point in Jesus' ministry. Darkness is the literal condition of Bartimaeus. By the way, Bartimaeus means son of Timaeus. We don't know his first name. So that's his literal condition, darkness. Yet, the mist of spiritual darkness, the mist of the city of man, is the condition of most everyone else. The disciples, James and John, the rich man, etc. Jesus is on the pilgrimage. Jesus knows where he's going. Jesus is on a journey away to his passion. Well, notice the parallels in the story of Bartimaeus and the other two, the rich man and James and John's request. What was Jesus' question for the disciples? What do you want me to do? We want to sit at your right and left hand in glory. Blind Bartimaeus says, my teacher, I just want to see again. That's all. The rich young ruler is given an audience with Jesus. He's the VIP, and he's treated as such. But the blind Bartimaeus must shout, because he has no one. He has only the cloak on his back. And more than likely, that was a tool of the trade. Yet his shouting is more accurate than anything the rich man or the disciples have said. Blind Bartimaeus does not say, how can I be right? Does not say, can I sit at your right hand? He says, Son of David, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Kyrie eleison. Now this takes place in Jericho. Jericho is a fascinating place even now. And of course it has a fascinating history. It's in the desert between the Dead Sea and Jerusalem. Today it's Palestinian territory. Remember in the Old Testament, it was the place the Israelites shouted to tear down the walls and conquer the city. It is now a deserted place, a shell of a town. There's this huge hotel in Jericho. It's meant to look kind of like Las Vegas, I guess. Unfinished. Just sits there. Bartimaeus is that perfect representation of Jericho. Lost, desolate, alone, blind. Nowhere else to go. In need of mercy. The people push Bartimaeus to Jesus. And as he is going to Jesus, he throws aside his cloak. Now it seems like a throwaway line, but it's important. The cloak is the only possession Bartimaeus has. Now it's hot in Jericho. Probably didn't wear it. He used it to collect money. And he would take and go to the next place. Remember the rich young ruler. He has many things. He's not able to give them up. Bartimaeus has one thing. And he gives it up. He casts it aside for the sake of Jesus. Even before he is healed. Jesus brings Bartimaeus before him and asks him, what do you want me to do for you? I want to see again. But the most profound part of this story is what he does after he is healed. Mark writes, immediately he regained his sight and followed Jesus on the way. On the way. You might want to put a capital on the W. The way to Jerusalem. The way to the cross. Bartimaeus has become a disciple. Now the path before him is clear. His head is not clouded, nor his vision impaired by the city of man. His model of discipleship is so very clear. What did he do? He starts where we all need to start. He asks for mercy. He's got no other choice. You know the old saying, you know that Jesus is all you need when Jesus is all you have. Few are in that place. Sometimes the city of man can cloud humanity so much that we don't realize we're in that place. And it even can bring contempt for God and for others. I heard recently the fall of humanity is described as the marring of the icon of God. The Orthodox use the icons like our Sinai over there. By the shrine. They are meant to remind us of the pure image that we were created to be. And when we fell into sin, and all of us have, it mars that image. And sometimes contempt for God is the result. Sometimes we take it that far. What happened yesterday took it that far. Contempt for the image of God in others. Contempt for the image of God in ourselves, even. Augustine says to love self even to the point of contempt for God. But look at what Bartimaeus did. He reached out in helplessness. And it's the only thing any of us can do. Lord, have mercy. You know, the Jesus prayer from the Eastern Orthodox tradition, I carry this around. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. It's a combination of Bartimaeus and the publican in Luke's gospel who sits by simply asking for mercy. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. That should be our first prayer. That should be our last prayer. That should be our best prayer. Kyrie eleison. Lord, have mercy. Now, eleison is a Greek word, and it's related to the word oil. It is a request to be made whole. It is a request for healing. There's also a principle from Scripture that Jesus reiterates over and over. When you are shown mercy, then you show mercy. You become a people defined by mercy and healing. Bernard of Clairvaux said that as Christians, we love for the sake of loving. Evagrius, one of the Desert Fathers, said, the one who heals for others' sake really heals himself. Sometimes the only prayer that ever makes sense is, Lord, have mercy. Well, lastly, Benedict, Bartimaeus' response from his healing is key to the story and key to the life of discipleship. He cast aside his cloak, his only possession, his only way of making a living, and he followed Jesus on the way. Now, you know, in some healing accounts in the Gospels, Jesus actually turns people back. He says, don't follow me now. Go back and tell your friends, your family, what God has done for you. But not so here. Presumably, Bartimaeus followed Jesus the rest of his life. Presumably, Bartimaeus was a witness to all of the things that happened in Jerusalem. Now, there are some traditions that say his name was Celadonus. Remember, Bartimaeus simply means son of Timaeus. And that he founded churches in Gaul as a missionary. Don't know if that's true or not. But he followed Jesus and he never turned back. He turned himself over. He surrendered himself to God. And he followed Jesus wherever Jesus would lead him. Jesus led him out. Literally and figuratively, out of darkness into light. This is also for us. This is also our call. Mother Teresa, her purpose was, as she says, for she and the missionaries of charity to enter every hole, wherever there is human life, wherever there is a soul for Jesus, and to serve them. Yet years before that, she made a vow to God not to refuse him anything. That's the call of discipleship. Probably won't look like Mother Teresa, but the call is the same, to surrender. to ask for mercy, and to follow Jesus. We also need to come out of darkness into His marvelous light. I pray with A.W. Tozer. O God, the triune God, I want Thee. I long to be filled with longing. I thirst to be made more thirsty still. Show me Thy glory, I pray Thee, so that I may know Thee indeed. Begin in mercy a new work of love within me. Say to my soul, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Then give me grace to rise and follow Thee up from this misty lowland where I have wandered so long. In Jesus' name, amen.